All right, good evening. We will be doing, since it is the holidays, we'll be doing a teaching on Christmas, which a lot of people have made it into about gifts and presents and just get what you can get pretty much in today's time. Even within the church, we think that Jesus is Santa Claus, where you have these so-called prophets come in and you give them money and they make you believe that you can get whatever you get you desire in your heart. But the main thing is we'll be focusing on why lie to your Christian kids or about the existence of Santa Claus and the pagan origins of Santa Claus. So we're going to get into our lesson up on tonight. Hopefully it'll be beneficial because we all know that this is the year or time designated where people acknowledge the birth of Christ personally. And just biblically, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Those of you who think that, that's not true. But usually within the church, I see the reason of focusing on really his birth. Had he not come and been born and not died on the cross for our sins, we would not be saved. So we thank the Lord for his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection that's come about. But most people have made Christmas into very secularized, very much into gifts and presents. It's turned into a time where people have made merchandise of folk consuming a bunch of stuff, whether you're going to Target or Walmart or the different department stores or buying a bunch of stuff on Amazon. These are the things that are taking place. So no further ado, let's go ahead and get into our lesson. I'll be sharing the screen, and which has the title of our lesson, Why Lie to Christian Kids on the Existence or About the Existence of Santa Claus, the Truth About the Pagan Origins of Santa. So first of all, there is such a belief in Santa Claus. We see that people have a belief within Santa Claus. And here is something that I found, very interesting article. It says, beliefs in Santa. This was a recent article that was done. Incredibly prevalent among children in many Western countries. One study by Jacqueline Woolley at the University of Texas at Austin found that more than 80% of five-year-olds in the U.S. are convinced of his existence. The characteristics that he supposedly possesses defy everything that a child knows to be true about the world, says Woolley. People don't live forever. They don't have reindeers that fly. They can't know what you want without speaking to you. Santa Claus violates all those things, and yet children still believe in him. So you have to wonder what's going on here, which is a very valid point. We've turned Santa Claus into a replacement God, where people are looking at Santa Claus as, I better be good. I better keep myself right because I want to make sure that I'm able to get what I want to get from Santa. And at the end of this, I just want to get down to the point where I think it's a very much, it's a dangerous thing to lie to your children that there is a Santa Claus, and especially when you're taking your hard earned money, especially this time of season that we're living in with inflation and just other things that are taking place, and you spending money on your kids' gifts and putting that stuff underneath the tree for them. And you're saying that some other person, which is hilarious, some other person is climbing down your chimney. Some people don't even have a chimney, and dropping off gifts. I find that hard to believe. But to tell your Christian kids the existence of Santa Claus, I think it's a prime time to really stress the birth of Christ, the reason why he came, and not get sidetracked. You see some churches where they have Santa Claus or somebody dressed up as Santa Claus and giving kids gifts and giving away Christmas gifts and all, which is just a blending of paganism along with Christianity and trying to be relevant. So here's a very important scripture from Jeremiah 10 and 2. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed of the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." So pretty much within the church, we shouldn't be taking on the ways of the heathen. You see churches who try to incorporate things to be relevant. They take on things of the world, and still you can't draw the world with the world's methods. You have to draw the world or people that are sinners by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and being spirit led and being empowered by the Spirit and being led by the Lord to do such things and not have your own agenda or your own mindset, or you're leaning onto your own understanding, which Proverbs talks about not leaning onto your own understanding. Here's a very important scripture I want to point out. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith." So we're looking at myths or fables. Santa Claus is a myth and it's a fable. So when you're promoting that to your kids, my wife and I, we always stress to our kids that there's no Santa Claus, because we'll get to a story about that. Truth of the matter is, you begin to tell your kids that Santa Claus is bringing gifts. And then when they get to a certain age and they find out that Santa Claus is not real, Santa Claus is fake, it's a phony, they'll start, if they have some critical thinking and some other things and all, it's like, well, if mom and dad told us that Santa Claus exists and was real and he doesn't exist, then what about Jesus? And it can lead them start to questioning things. I know some people may think this is outrageous, but it's the truth. You got to start really imparting truth into your kids, biblical truth into your kids, and setting a strong foundation. Amen. So we're going to go and we're going to look at, what about Santa Claus being based off Saint Nicholas? You hear this, Santa Claus being based off Saint Nicholas. Nicholas' existence is not attested by historical documents, so nothing is certain, is unknown for his life, except that it was probably a bishop of Mar in the 4th century. So he was probably a bishop in the 4th century. So it's not concrete that he was actually a real living person. When we get more into this, we'll see that it's a combination of things that came together that put together this formation of Santa Claus, which we see having that going on. Unfortunately, very little is known about the real Saint Nicholas. Countless legends have grown up around this very popular saint, but very little historical evidence is available. So very little historical evidence is available, which is noted. I have not found evidence of Saint Nicholas in any form in juveniles or periodicals or diaries in the period of the Dutch rule, or straight through the 17th and 18th centuries to the year 1773. So here again, we have documentation. There's no really concrete evidence that there is a Saint Nicholas or Saint Nick. So we're at the important part, are the origins of some Christian Christmas traditions pagan. So you need to ask the question, are some origins of some Christmas traditions are pagan? We're going to dive into that because, again, I understand most churches where you have your New Year's Eve, candlelight service, some other things and all, and it does really give you time to reflect on the birth of Christ and the story of his birth, and gives great importance where even some people who normally traditionally come to church a few times out of the year, it may be Easter, maybe Easter Sunday, and then Christmas Eve. And then other than that, you don't see them until the next time things come around. So let's dive in. Here's the real unveiled Santa Claus. Some Santa researchers associate Santa with the Norse god Odin or Wooden. So those who go and watch the popular movies, the Marvel movies of Thor, the last movie that was just made, it just recently came out, Thor and the Thunder of Love, and we watched Endgame, Marvel's Endgame, and the Infinity Wars, and you've watched all the Thor movies and all. His dad is Odin, so it goes back to the Norse religion, which Odin is one of the Norse gods that's highly celebrated. But Crichton describes Odin as riding through the sky on an 8-legged white horse named Sleipnir. Santa originally had 8 reindeers. Rudolph was 9. Odin lived in Valhalla in the north and had the long white beard. And Odin would fly through the sky during the winter solstice, December 21st through the 25th, rewarding the good children and punishing the naughty. So here we base the point of Norse god Odin, some of the things that have accumulated, the story of Santa Claus has been incorporated with this pagan god, this pagan Norse god. Also too, we have to realize what people that are within the occult and witchcraft and all, this is a time that they celebrate Yule, the time of Yuletide or Yule, or the winter solstice. I believe there's witches and also people that practice the occult. 8 main primary things on the calendar, holidays that they really focus on. And one is being the winter solstice, which falls in line with this. Since it's interesting to see how the Norse god Odin changed into Santa, and he still comes at Yuletide or Christmas, but instead of coming on his 8-legged horse, He now rides a sleigh pulling 8 reindeer. So those normally around this time, you see the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, had a very shiny nose. You see all these shows or these cartoons, these things that are animated comes out. I don't know if they still do or not, but I know as a kid, those were very popular programs. Santa is Coming to Town, watch these things and all. I know for a fact, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, my older sister gave me the reel. She got me up. She was like, there's no Santa Claus. Saw my parents putting Christmas gifts underneath, and I didn't believe in Santa Claus for since then. It's about 4 years old because I got the reel. Those are the things that we're seeing, that pagan tradition has been incorporated within the season, unbeknownst to a lot of Christians who incorporate this. You see, you may go over to some of the saint's house and you see Santa Claus in the front yard and reindeers and all these other things and all, and don't even know the actual representation behind it, you know, which we're going to even deeply dive into it even more. When we look at Santa's and his elves, elves are very interesting creatures because they're not like these very loving little, small little creatures that run around, but very demonic and usually very evil when we look at Norse or pagan traditions. This is in Norse and Slavic paganism. We get the elves living in the world right above our North Pole. And at Yuletide or Christmas, the veil between the worlds is thinnest so that the elves and ghosts may come to visit, bringing with them gifts like healing from disease or punishments like death. The elf spirits were also called Pooka. They came to give gifts and healing to those that they liked and hurt those that they did not like putting switches or coal in stockings. The Scandinavians said that when a Pooka entered a house, one may hear the greeting of ho, ho, ho from the Pooka or the elf. So that's where we get the incorporation of ho, ho, ho. Interesting enough, by reading this, it states a couple of important facts within this. Number one, this is during the time of Yuletide or the winter solstice. It states that the veil between the worlds is thinnest, that the elves and ghosts may come and visit. We see this within Halloween. Normally, Halloween is one of the things that's celebrated by pagans. During that time of October 31st is during the time, the proper time, where the veil between the spirit world and this world is very thin, and it opens up pretty much a spirit portal for demonic activity and other things to come about and actually see manifested. So this is not just a time that we recognize that the birth of Christ, but this is also an important time where people that are in paganism, that practice the occult, the winter solstice is one of the things that they celebrate. And we see this happening, and which we'll get a little bit more into the presentation, because even over in Europe, we've seen over the last several years, the character named Krampus is part of their belief, which Krampus is a demon, which a little bit later within this presentation, we'll get into. Amen. Now, very interesting is the connection between Thor and Santa Claus. We see within the Marvel movies that Thor at one point became Fat Thor and kind of let himself go, wasn't this muscular, handsome guy, but got really fat and out of shape. But here we see that Thor was the god of the peasants and the common people. He represented as an elderly man, jovial and friendly and heavy built with long white hair. His element was the fire, his color red. The rumble and roar of thunder were said to be caused by the rolling of his chariots, for alone among the gods never rode on horseback, but drove in a chariot drawn by two white goats called Cracker and Gnasher. He was fighting giants on ice and snow and thus became the Yule God. He was said to live in the Northland, where he had his palace among icebergs. By our pagan forefathers, he was considered as a cheerful, friendly god, never harming the humans, but rather helping and protecting them. The fireplace in every home was especially sacred to him, and he said to come down through the chimney into his element. So here we see how the combination of Odin and Thor, you start mingling all these different pagan gods into Santa Claus. He wore red. That's where we get Santa's red suit coming down the chimney, all these things, except for Thor had two white goats versus reindeers, and he rode a chariot. And so this is the things that we're getting about, because we see like these nice little cute Christmas stories. And again, as believers and Christians, we should be able to kind of know the spirit behind things. And people, Hosea 4 and 6 says, we're destroyed by the lack of knowledge also too. We're destroyed when we reject knowledge also too. So in the Handbook of Christian Feasts and Customs, author Francis Wisser, or Wiser, traces the origins of Santa the Thor. Behind the name Santa Claus actually stands the figure of the pagan dramatic god Thor. So here again, we see the connection of Santa and Thor. We move on. The Swedish children will wait eagerly for Jotuntin, a gnome whose sled is drawn by Julbakr, the goat of the thunder god Thor, with his red suit and cap and bulging sack on his back. He looks much like the American Santa Claus. So here is stating the case that the American Santa Claus looks like Thor. We did a teaching a few weeks ago on the thunder gods, which we talked about the god Baal, we talked about Zeus, we talked about Thor, we talked about how all those gods are considered thunder gods, and also too that within Freemason writings, that Thor is known as the god of the Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 2, that he is known again as the prince and power of the air. Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for bringing the scripture back. Yeah, the prince and power of the air, which is Satan. So don't want to get sidetracked within our lesson, but that is an important part, that Thor is a representation of also Satan also too. Amen. Who is Saint Nick and how it relates to Santa Claus? So we hear this talk about Saint Nick. and Santa Claus. In certain German children's games, St. Nicholas' figure itself is a dark helper, a devil who wants to punish kids, but is stopped from doing so by Christ. So here we hear the term, well, good old St. Nick, Santa Claus, we equate that. But again, you have to understand terminology. You have to understand how things originate and how it's also placed in culturally context when we're looking at things. That's why, again, we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We also read that Black Pete, the grandfather of our modern Santa Claus, is known in Holland as Zwarte Piet. This 18th century German version is like his ancient Shemitic ancestor, steel horn, fur, clad, scary, less than kind to children. Although portrayed as a slave helper of St. Nicholas, the two are in many villages blended into one character. This figure often has the name Nicholas or Claus, but has the swarthy appearance of the dark helper. So this is important to know. Again, we're taking our time. You're reading your children, Christian children, these stories about Santa Claus and all these other things and all, and don't know the truth behind it. People in the world are going to do what they're going to do because they're blinded by the evil one, by the God of this world. That's who they're ruled by. But when we come into the kingdom of God, we're ruled and governed by Jesus Christ. He's our Lord of Lords, King of Kings. That's why it says the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us not into some truth, but into all truth. When you begin to see truth and truth is revealed, we begin to walk in the truth. This is not a lesson to be judgmental and to demean people. But when you come into the light, when you come into the truth, you're like, okay, I come into the truth, I come into the light. It's time for me to walk in the truth and walk in the light because it's been presented to me. Are you rejecting? You just continue to just not repent and just continue to walk in your own traditions and your own disobedience when truth has been unveiled to you. Amen. Here's some other things I want to point out with St. Nick. On the eve on December 6th, the myth told that this bearded, white-haired old saint clad in wide mantle rode through the skies on a white horse together with his sleigh, the swarthy dark helper. This reluctant helper had to disperse gifts to good people, but much preferred to threaten them with his broom-like scourge, and at the sign of his master would gleefully drag sinners away to the place of eternal suffering. So we hear like the songs, you better not cry, you better not go, because I'm better not lie, whatever. Santa's coming. Santa's coming. And then, you know, Santa has a list of people who are good or people who are naughty, you know, these are all these other things and all. You better just make sure. I don't want to be on Santa's list. I want to make sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what we should be stressing to our kids. Amen. And if you do something, you gotta teach your kids, if you do something that's naughty, you gotta repent, not repeat that behavior over again. Those are the things that we should be stressing instead of like time and season. You know, you better be good. You better not be naughty because you want to make sure Santa brings you gifts. That's, you know, again, that's foolishness. We have to start really rearing our kids up in the Word of God and the ways of God at a very early age and disciple them. Proverbs 22:6 talks about that, talks about training your children, leading them in the way that they should go. So when once they become older, they won't depart. And that doesn't mean dragging them to church and some other things and all. That's taking out quality time within your own household to teach them the word of God. Show, not just teach them and just read them the word of God, but showing that you're manifesting as the parent, the fruit of the spirit, that you're living godly, you're doing things and that you're following the actual word. Let's go ahead and proceed. Nicholas is one of the most common devil's names in German, a name that remains today when Satan is referred as Old Nick. So Old Nick is one of the words that's referred or referenced to Satan. Here we have Krampus and Santa Claus, Saint Nick. So this is one of Saint Nick's dark helpers that we talked about. Let's move on. So here's the story behind Krampus. Krampus in the Central European popular legend. It's half goat, half demon monster that punishes misbehaving children at Christmas time. He is the devilish companion of Saint Nicholas. Krampus is believed to have originated in Germany and named derives from German word Krumpen, which means claw. So this is very interesting to see the description of Krampus, Saint Nick's sidekick, that it's half goat, half demon. When we look at the Baphomet is, we see is half goat, demonic figure, androgynous, all these other things. So just the last several years within Europe, Krampus is very much celebrated. You can go on YouTube, you can Google this. Quite a bit of people celebrate this demonic figure if you, over in Germany or over in Europe, period. Europe has become less and less Christianized and more secular and have really almost fallen into the dark ages when in regards to spirituality. And America's definitely headed that way, as we see fast and coming about. Krampus was thought to have been part of the pagan ritual for the winter solstice. So here we see that word winter solstice. Again, according to legend, he is the son of Hel, the Norse god of the underworld. So we see within Marvel, we see, I believe it was Thor and Ragnarok, where Thor's sister is Hel, which after Odin dies, Hel comes back. She's fighting Thor to be the ruler over Asgard. These writers, they incorporate a lot of other things and all. They have Hel as the daughter of Odin, but like when you study Norse religion, Hel is actually the daughter of Loki, which that's another story within itself. But let's go ahead and proceed. So Krampus is a byproduct of the god of the underworld. It says with the spread of Christianity, Krampus became associated with Christmas, despite the efforts by the Catholic Church to ban him. Well, that's one good thing that the Catholic Church, I think, got right, was trying to ban this creature. So at least commend them on that. It says the creature and Saint Nicholas are said to arrive on the evening of December 5th, which is Krampus night. While Saint Nicholas rewards nice children by leaving presents, Krampus beats those who are naughty and with branches and sticks, and in some cases, he said to eat them or take them to hell on December 6th, St. Nicholas Day, children awaken to find their gifts are nursed, their injuries. So this is where you start getting, you start incorporating into Christmas, the formulation of gifts being underneath the tree. Again, within December 25th, some say that some scholars have stated that is the time and season, the birth of the, not the Son of God, but the Sun, S-U-N, Sun God. Some say Tammuz, some other things and all. Again, that would be a separate lesson within itself, because the main focus is showing the pagan origins of Santa Claus and some of the pagan origins of Christmas that is associated with it. We did state that before we move on, that I believe it was back in 2015, a movie was made about Krampus. It's a horror movie, of course, several other things and all, but the celebration of our people observing Krampus Day has started to become more and more popular because we live in a very dark, satanic age where people are in outright rebellion and don't recognize Yeshua as their Lord and Savior. But we know at a certain point, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Yeshua is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Here's an important story that I want to bring about because I think it's very relevant and why we should tell our kids the truth. Should always be truthful. Kids, we should not be lying to them and making up fables and myths and other things and all. Not to say stories are good. My kids love stories. But like when it gets to certain things where you're lying about Santa Claus, then they may think like, mom and dad, if they lied about this, then what if they lied about this, that, and other? But I find this very unique because I read the story several years ago. I had a book. I read this. I thought about this. What really made me think about this, I was watching Good Fight Ministry on YouTube with Pastor Joe Schimmel and his son-in-law, Chad. And Chad was doing lessons. It was on YouTube. And he said something very important that if you lie to parents, Christian parents, if they lie to their kids about the existence of Santa Claus and they find that out not to be true, then they may come to conclusions, well, Santa Claus, you said that Santa Claus is real and not real. Well, what about Jesus? So this brings me to Gene Roddenberry, which is the creator of Star Trek, which you see a lot of elements within Star Trek, very ahead of his time, very new age, very much at the end of things that man will conquer all, man doesn't need God, just and will explore other worlds and just other things and all, which can be a separate lesson within itself. So here's a quote from Gene Roddenberry's interview in 1991 with the Humanist, which states, at 5 years old, I learned that Santa Claus was nonsense. It doesn't exist. Yes. I think back now that there were sorts of reasons he could not exist. And maybe a little sadness that he, Santa, was gone. But then I think the same thing about Jesus and the church. Now here, Gene Roddenberry's mother, from what I read, was devoted to the Baptist church. And he came to the conclusion at 5 years old. It's like, hey, people are telling me that all this time since I've been on this planet for these 5 years or so that Santa Claus is real. And then I find out that Santa Claus is just nonsense and doesn't exist. So why should I believe in Jesus and the church? I've never seen Jesus, but you talk about Santa Claus, and unfortunately he died believing this, and unfortunately he's going to find out that Jesus is real, because he's going to have to face him at the judgment, just plain and simple. So this is a story that just really stands out, that we should always promote truth with our kids, which I'll go to the next part. Amen. So hopefully you guys are getting something out from this lesson. Again, not trying to bring condemnation, just trying to tell you the truth. And the truth will set you free or make you free. Amen. Whichever one you want to take. Amen. So here we have Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. It says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. So we should always, when we're dealing with our children, as I was saying, sometimes the truth hurts. Always be 100% truthful with them. You don't want to bring a reproach upon the name of the Lord when you're acting out of character, you're lying, you're gossiping, you're doing other things in front of your children. And they're like, hey, you're supposed to be saved. You're supposed to be a representation of Christ, a Christian. You call yourself a Christian. That's why with some kids, they see some inaccuracy and some things that parents do, that they go and shout, run around the church and other things and all, and come home, they don't live the same thing at home versus when they go to church and it's outright performance driven, where they're performing, being a character, the church character, not carrying that back into the house. So that's just a side note. Ephesians 4 and 25, it says, put away falsehood and speak the truth, for we are members one another. Amen. We're almost done. Amen. We're almost to the finish line. It says, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. That's John 17 and 17. We look at Psalms 15, verse 2 and 3 says, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from the heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to his neighbor, and casts no slurs on others. So that's what our tongue should be. Shouldn't speak truth from the heart, utter not slander or running around gossiping. Gossip is slandering. Does no wrong to the neighbors, or cast no slurs on others. So that's the main thing that we should be pushing in our heart, especially in front of our kids. These are two important quotes. It says, parents shouldn't lie to the children, not even when they think it's for their own good. Even a little lie is dangerous. So we see when we read the quote from Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, back in 1991, how he came to the conclusion, his own critical thinking and rationalizing, well, Santa doesn't exist, Jesus doesn't exist, and just went on to kind of be a humanist, had like a God complex, but it was very, it's a formation of being very dangerous. So it's very dangerous when we don't practice truth in front of our kids and we don't tell them the truth and promote truth. Last but least, by Bertrand Russell, he states, there is no excuse for deceiving children. And when, as must happen in a conventional families, they find that their parents have lied, they lose confidence in them and feel justified in lying to them. So you always got to, that's a great quote. Bertrand Russell wasn't saved, but this is a good point. Should be no excuse of deceiving our children, because you lie to them and they find out that you lie, you lose confidence and other things, and all, you lose trust. They have distrust. They're like, you can't trust a word that you say. So as Christian parents, we have to be the spiritual leaders within our own household. It's good that you take them to church. Wonderful. Commend you on that. It's good that you have them in youth group and Sunday school and all those other things, but you have to really reinforce that thing within the home. Spiritual principles have to be within the home, because even some things in the church, some stuff you see, or some stuff that's not really biblical that can be promoted. You have to be able to have, make sure your kids have a strong foundation in the word. You have to make sure you take out the time to properly disciple them and let them know the truth. Amen. I know for me in my house, my 7-year-old does not, he'll tell you in a heartbeat, he says, Santa Claus is not real. So, amen, brother. But that's because, especially my wife, myself, really instill principles into them. So, amen. So I'm not going to do preacher talk, because we are done. Hopefully you receive something from this message. Please share it on the holidays. I think it will help somebody. We're just trying to do some work. I know my wife and I's friend, Brother Mo, had like asked me, he's like, man, I haven't seen you Facebook Live teaching for a while. So this was yesterday. I told him, I said, hey, I'll be tomorrow. So thank the Lord that he made time for me to teach this lesson. Pray for me as I pray for you. And God bless. And we're signing out. This is the first time also, too, that we're kind of using some new tools, streaming. So hopefully it'll be more effective. We're trying to be more effective and more creative in ministry, bring Yeshua, Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh, glory. This is the time for him, for us to just reflect on his birth and celebrate that. Say, had he not been born, he would not been able to go to the cross and die for not just my sins, but your sins. And that we believe and trust in him, that we love him with wholeheartedly, especially these last days. All right, God bless. It's Gerald, the End Time Shofar, signing out. You guys have a blessed evening.